Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And of course, we've got a great show coming up for you, but we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And of course, I'd like to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And of course, SVN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SVN. You can always check out ScuttlebuttNetwork.com as well. And coming up later this hour on SVN, we'll talk with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He'll give us the latest on the services they offer to our veterans and their families, especially in the COVID environment that we continue to have to deal with. We'll also speak with Mr. Daniel Mahari from Wounded Warrior Adventures about an upcoming event that they have for our veterans. And of course, Tom's Tirade on postal partisanship. You don't want to miss it. So you can always stay tuned for the fireworks on that. But first, we are literally just days into the weekend at Bernie's administration, but they have spared no effort in putting our military and veterans in the progressive crosshairs. And a new story out, Tom, details how they plan to return to a military run by really political officers and lawyers. And yeah, here we are, Tom, 2 weeks, not even that, a week into the Biden administration. And a story pops up on military.com that the DOD is going to be investigating the special operations community with a focus on war crimes, their compliance with war crimes laws. Yeah, I mean, I can't figure that this wasn't already really in the works, Tom, because you wouldn't think that this would pop up over the course of a week, especially when Biden has been signing executive orders left and right. You wouldn't think that they would have even had time to talk about something.
No, they've pre-planned all this stuff, Cal, and we have to watch it real close. All these troops in D.C., they've got something behind that. It appears that they would want the general public to feel like that there's the White House is going to be attacked, the Capitol is going to be attacked, and all this stuff is going to be attacked. So they're going to utilize this for one of their deals, to start passing some laws for control of us, us being the constituents. And the public, and I think we're going to see some gun problems. I think we're going to see some freedom of speech problems. And, hell, look, they just put a guy in a jail in Florida today, and all he was doing was on the damn Internet stirring up the troops. And then, I'm on that page.
There's no doubt that, I saw a report came out earlier today, where the Department of Homeland Security, issued a domestic terrorism alert, and I'm wondering, thinking to myself,
they're all in D.C. though.
Well, but where? No, the domestic terrorists, they're the ones that are. They've been doing it for months now, under the auspices of things like Black Lives Matter.
Antifa and all the other stuff. And they're still doing it out on the left coast.
I think there's a certain climate out there that they feel a little safer doing it. But Tom, I was looking at a report. Where effectively they're looking to almost create one of these green zones, like we have in Baghdad and in Afghanistan and places, that they're looking to try to do something like that.
You're on the right page.
In D.C. And, right. And that means you now are going to put our military, and of course they're doing it with the National Guard, but you're really putting those military service members in a precarious position. We started with Tom, this situation where you now have the Pentagon Inspector General is going to evaluate how well the special operations community are complying with war crimes laws. Now, there hasn't been.
Where's the war
if you
crimes?
Noticed,
where's the wall of war crimes deal at?
Well, here's that's what I don't know if they're trying to put people on notice or if they're actually going to try to go in and dig up some dirt.
Right.
But the problem, Tom, is that the majority of what they'd be investigating happened under the watch of the Obama administration.
Right.
And this apparently. The DOD's handling of war crimes cases under the UCMJ came under scrutiny amid pardons and commutations issued by President Trump. So here you have a situation where the president executed things that were under his authority given to him by the Constitution, and yet you've got the Pentagon's IG now wants to go back and examine those things. They listed there's in the story there's three Army soldiers that were pardoned or had their sentences commuted by Trump. They also mentioned that he intervened in the case of Navy SEAL Chief Petty Officer Eddie Gallagher.
Right.
But if you go back, and I know people have very short memories, but if you go back and you examine the prosecution of these soldiers, you would almost have to, if you wanted to look at it from an objective perspective, Tom, you would have to agree that these were prosecutions that were taken with a political bent.
Right. Totally.
That, again, these were soldiers that, at least based on their accounts, the accounts that you heard, they were having to make snap decisions to protect their troops, Tom. And yet you had lawyers that wanted to go after them because of it. And it wasn't like it was the My Lai massacre that was going on. And I think, and you and I talked about it a lot during the Obama administration. at which you had troops, you know, boots on the ground saying, look, we could have taken care of this terrorist or that terrorist or stopped this from happening, but we had to wait to get permission from a lawyer, you know, somewhere back in D.C.
Yeah.
And so once
we can't operate under those kind of rules and regulations, when we're on the front and in combat, if you're not supposed to be there, then damn it, let's don't go there. But then if we're going, let's have the right to take charge and do what needs to be done when we're given an order to go in and clean out an area, clean it out. You don't have to call no damn body. What is this?
Well, Tom, I think you saw the results. Under the Obama administration, you had ISIS basically take over the majority of the Middle East, and it didn't take long under the Trump administration when the handcuffs were taken off for our military to be able to push ISIS back. Who knows? Since we've now put our oil resources back in the hands of the Saudis and those in the Middle East, who knows? Maybe that's going to become another hotbed. Hey, troops. Good luck. You may be getting deployed again. Yeah. So, hey, on the other side of the break, we'll speak with Daniel Mahari from the Wounded Warrior Adventures when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Minds of men fashioned a crate of thunder, sent it high into the blue.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. And hey, check us out on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And if you like to listen on demand, our regular air programs are up via most of the podcasting sites. And you can check out Tom's tirade at castbox.net. And it is a privilege to be joined on SBN by Daniel Mahari from Wounded Warrior Adventures. Daniel, welcome to Scuttlebutt, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Hey, buddy. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be here tonight. I was listening to y'all before the break, man. I was actually enjoying that. So,
I think you were ready to chime in, weren't you?
That is correct, sir. Yeah. don't get me started.
Yeah, don't get you started.
And I will be honest with you. We give these veterans, this year, unfortunately, due to the COVID situation, we're actually not going to have our banquet that we normally have. And we would sometimes, we would allow the veterans to stand up and say some things. And we've actually been at them when them veterans, we just let them talk, and they've let them have it. I'm gonna tell you, let the government have it.
Oh yes. Well, it's like we were talking a while ago there, and these guys now they're all Purple Heart recipients, and they're all busted up, crippled in some way or the other, mentally, physically, or legs, or arms, or hands, or what have you, on the ones that I saw up there. And I don't blame them. They got a hard on for what they went through.
No, sir. The biggest thing is how would you like to run the longest race of your life and the scariest race of your life? And when you thought you're done, and you've done all this for America and done all this for your next door neighbor, all of a sudden you see the finish line, and I hate to say the word, but these idiots that we voted into office moves the line.
Yes. Yeah. They keep moving the goalpost,
That's correct.
Yeah. That's a simple way to say it. But you guys have really done an awesome thing there at St. Stephen's, which is right outside of Citronelle.
A little town called St. Stephen's, which is right outside of actually Jackson, Alabama.
Okay. But then also, Chatham?
Yes, sir. Between Jackson and Chatham. Yes,
right.
Sir.
Okay. I know that you had a big event.
I tell everybody we're 15 miles from anything. 15 miles from Chatham, 15
that's,
miles from Jackson,
and
15
that's the
miles.
Damn truth.
I tell everybody we're so far back out in the woods. If you get saved on Sunday, don't you die for Tuesday. You're still going to hell.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. My son. Give us a little insight about what you guys are doing there at St. Stephen's with these vets. From what I saw, you were taking them out hunting, and didn't you have a guide that went out with each one of them?
Yes, sir. We have guides. We have people that that donate their time, and a lot of folks that donate their land. Matter of fact, we're still looking for land. If you feel like you would really like to have a wounded vet come and hunt on your property, we sure would appreciate it. We've got plenty of places, but we always need extra. Some of these fellas are one or two I talked to. Matter of fact, today they actually said that they haven't been out hardly of the house. Matter of fact, one that comes from Arkansas,
right.
This will be his third year. Y'all
right.
got to hear his story. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
but
yeah,
they
I heard
said
that.
With this COVID stuff, he never would even leave within 50 miles of his house, period.
Right.
Most of the time he'd only go to work and come back home. And he literally said if he don't come down here, if we cancel this, he would probably go back into the shell that he was
mm-hmm.
just being off.
And, yeah, and that was a pitiful story.
We can't do that. Yep. We can't have that.
No. Well, all that being said, you're going to have it under the COVID rules. You're going to have to change some of your rules and probably the head count that you have had in the past. But you're still going
yeah, sure,
forward, though, right?
We're only bringing in, I think, six or seven warriors this time. And of everything we're going to try to do, even though it's cold, is going to be outside. Like I said, the banquet that we normally have over in Chatham, Alabama, of course, we can't have that. So the auction is no, you know, that's where we raise the money for everything. So that's gone. That's disappeared. So we're trying to raise money through donations, because we're not going to, if I have to personally take it out of my pocket, we're going to have this event.
Right.
You know, Miss Betty and Mr. Mike, they're going to do everything they can to help us too.
Yeah, they'll be there. Actually, they'll be there to help cook, and the P.L. Wilson detachment will make its donation as well.
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And like I said, we're going to raise the money. You know, we've been blessed that we've got a little bit of money in the bank for these fellers. When they leave their house, everything until they get back to their house is paid for. Their gas expense over, all the eats when they get here, everything here is taken
right,
care
right.
of all the way back to their house.
Well, now let me ask you this.
We've done that for years.
Let's do this. How can our listeners I'm sure there's some out there that are willing to make a donation of some sort and size. How can they do that? How can it get into the proper account and or to the right person?
Well, you know, they can actually look at Wounded Warrior Adventures Facebook page, of course, and reach out to us there. But, of course, you can actually contact me or my wife or anybody if anybody knows the St. Stephen's Historical Society, they come in and help us with everything, too.
Right.
But we can actually put my phone number out there. If they can call your radio station, you know, we can give them whatever they need.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that I don't have a problem with, you know, calling me or coming to my email address. It's tclaxton73@gmail.com. And if they have any, you know, if they'd like to donate something, because I've been there. I will be back again this year and to do what I can to help Mike and Betty with the cooking and getting the chow called out there. But it is unbelievable how these vets come out of their shell when they're out there doing this. And yeah, they've got loaded weapons, man.
Yes, sir. They do have loaded weapons. But let me tell you, we sit back and we tell everybody, look, you know these fellas, you may know them one-on-one in the woods or whatever, but when they get together, they only speak a language that they know.
Right.
You know, they're like I said, Ari Auld out of Arkansas, didn't even know anything like this could happen.
Right. Right.
Since Vietnam, he could only go a little ways away from his house. He'd only go to work and come home. His wife had to take his kids to the fair, to the mall, to the movies,
right.
Everything. And he finally, out of all these years, she had to stay on back roads to even get him down here. He cried and said he didn't even know these fellas existed. When he got, he was like a band of brothers. It was like people that had, you know, his eyes was finally open, and he actually got to hang out with other veterans. And again, when you get them together, if you'll sit back, you can be absolutely amazed at what they talk about, their language, how they converse back and forth. It's absolutely amazing.
That combat language that these guys have, and the language that they quote from being in all of the medical facilities that they all went through to repair the damage to their bodily portions that they're messed up with, and all the counseling and all they've had for the PTSD that most all of them still have, and some of them have, you know, have their dogs with them and what have you.
But several of them bring their service dogs. Yes,
right.
Sir.
It's just really an unbelievable scenario that that you guys are making available for them there, and thank you for what you're doing. And give me a phone number.
If it wasn't for people like y'all, people like Miss Betty, Mr. Mike, the Marine Corps, you know, League, and all the St. Stephen's Historical Society, everybody in our community that reaches out to us and they actually donate their time, they take days off of work, they right. bring their four-wheelers, they bring their side-by-sides, they bring their trucks, you know. I think last year, a couple of years ago, we actually worked real hard to get a track chair donated to a good friend of yours.
Right.
I forget his last name, but his name was Greg.
Yeah, Greg. Know? Greg, we've helped him help build him a home here in the Grand Bay area, in homes for our troops back in the day. So, Greg Edwards, he's a great guy.
It takes just always remember. I can't say this enough. You know, people say, "Well, look, you know, this organization is bringing these people in." I can't help. I'm just so and so. Look, it don't take millions.
Right.
Sometimes it takes $5.
Right.
Sometimes it just takes you showing up and saying,
right.
"Hey, what
right.
can I do? Can I help feed them?
Right.
Can I help tend to them tonight? Can I take them out to the woods? Can
right.
I sit in the truck and wait on them to shoot a deer
there
and
you
go get the deer out of the woods for them?" It just takes,
right.
you know, it, like I said,
all right,
we would love to have the millions, but
right.
we need the one-on-one. And, you know, and
we're bumping
and
governors,
just
Daniel,
to step up to the plate.
We're bumping the governors on time. Give me a phone number.
Hey, 251-769-1701. Again, 251-769-1701. And again, God bless y'all. God bless everything that's going on. And we're looking forward to, you know, this hunt's really going to be great this year, even though COVID's going to kick us in
all
the
right.
face.
There you go. Hey, we kick back, though. Appreciate you taking the time to be on with us. And we're going to take a break now. Let's do some of our fine sponsors that work with us, and we'll be back here on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you, boss.
Yes, sir.
Minds of men, fashioned a crate of thunder, sent it high into the blue. Hands of men.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. I've been a soldier since I was 19. And I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. A voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And Tom, I know we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make this show possible, right?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the folks that continue to help make this show possible. The Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And just a real quick programming note, next week we're going to be broadcasting live from the fantail of the Battleship USS Alabama. That'll be at 1300 or 1 o'clock for you civilians out there. But we're going to be broadcasting live from the fantail. It's always great to be out there, and it's always an honor to be joined on the Scuttlebutt by a great supporter of our veterans, Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to SBN.
Thank you, Cal. It's always a pleasure being here.
And I tell you, you guys have had to make a lot of changes. I mean, having a funeral for anyone now, as far as the family and all, has just become a total catastrophe.
Tom, it has been a nightmare for us, for everyone. But
right, sure.
You know, we were under mandate for several months that we can only have 10 people by mandate of the state. And it was heartbreaking to look over across the desk to talk with a family and say, I'm sorry, but you can only have 10 people.
Right.
And they look at me like I have a third eye.
Right,
say,
right.
How is it? There's more than 10 people in our immediate family. How can one son come to the funeral but the other can't?
There you go. Now, Mel, how do you define which one can come and which one can't?
We work with them. We try to, you know, rotate, do whatever we can to help that family.
I know that I had the occasion to go to one of our ABC Warriors, a Marine ABC Warriors funeral out in Sarah Land, and they actually had a head count, and they allowed so many people in the room, you know, for the viewing of the body and said hello and goodbye, you know, with the family. And then, you know, they would come in and they would wave you out, you know, have the other people wait in another area, and they wouldn't let so many of them wait in that area. And it was, they had different rooms. They were, you know, having people wait in. I mean,
well, what we've tried to do.
What a fire drill.
Yeah, I understand. What we've tried to do is we've been trying to hold all of our visitations in our chapel. Serenity has the largest funeral chapel of any funeral home in the state of Alabama.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
And it's a very large chapel. So we hold our visitations there, so we have plenty of room for people to spread out and social distance.
So there's plenty of space in there, social distance
it is.
In there.
It is.
And I would think that you still have your mask mandate on.
Oh, yes, we have that. I have hand sanitizing stations at the entrances, and we sanitize behind each service. And just try to keep our staff, try to keep our visitors and our family safe.
Well, what's happening, you know, if they don't do anything within the chapel and say they have a graveside service? Now, how is that being worked?
Now, we can certainly have more people at graveside because you can certainly distance.
You're in the open,
more,
I guess, yeah.
Correct. I've bought an amplifier and a microphone, a cordless mic, to be able to bring that out to the graveside. So if we have 100, 150 people at the graveside and spread out, they're still able to hear the minister and anyone else speaking.
Right. Okay. All right. Wasn't aware of that. That's a neat way to do it. They can have a bigger service. Excuse me. If they're outside at the graveside. Now, that being said, your gravesite, your cemetery is right close to the your chapel at all.
It is. Yes. And so what many times we'll have the family, extended family, totaling the limit that we have now for the visitation, and then invite more people for the graveside.
How has the cremation phase worked? Are you guys working three shifts?
Well, not quite, but yeah. There has definitely been an uptick in the option of cremation during this period of time.
Well, I'm sure that there's a lot of veterans that thought that they were going to have their families thought that they were, since they were a veteran, that they were going to have their services totally paid for, and that's certainly not true.
No. It's the only time that happens is when someone is active duty and is killed in action, or even an accident, training accidents or off-base accidents. We've recently,
as long as he's active in service.
Correct.
Right.
We recently handled the service of a young Navy officer there that was killed in Italy.
Okay.
Tragic.
Darn. In Italy?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, give us a little bit of insight, too, about the new facility that you had built out there with all the flags.
Yes, we're very proud of that. That is in our cremation garden. It's called Serenity Rest, and we recently dedicated a section for our veterans with special discounts involved with that. But we erected a flagpole in the center of a very large piece of granite that has the bronze insignias of all the branches of service.
Okay. That's cool. And that seems to be working well at this time?
It is. It is a wonderful feature that we have added.
Well, I know that a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the plot itself at Serenity, am I understanding it that is free for a veteran? It's buried in the veteran's a portion of the cemetery? Well, or what? How does that work?
In our cemetery, any veteran honorably discharged, their grave space is free.
Okay.
Now, the state mandates that there is a nominal perpetual care fund that goes into the state for all perpetual care cemeteries. That is a requirement. So, but other than that, the veterans' grave space is actually free. That is Serenity's way and Lawn Haven's way of saying thank you for your service. And we stand behind the troops when, you know, I think it's time that businesses, when they say, oh, we support the troops, well, put your money where your mouth is.
Put your money where your mouth. All right, that being said, now, what about the bride or the wife of the veteran or vice versa?
In the Wall of Honor, the raised section in our cemetery, those are double-depth graves. And so in that particular section, the spouse's grave is also free.
Goodness.
Yes.
Okay. And then they have a perpetual fee as well.
That is correct. That is, again, mandated by the state.
But that's enforced by the state, not you guys.
Right.
Okay. All right, but they don't have a work. They have a problem like one of our local organizations is with another cemetery on the north side of town, where it's just trees were growing up through the graves and everything else.
Right. No, ours. I'm very proud to say is usually pristine any time of the year you go out there.
Yep.
We have a wonderful crew that works tirelessly to maintain our property and make it as beautiful as possible.
How about the virus vaccination? Have you or any of your people had
we
that?
We went today.
Awesome. Okay.
And I want to give a shout out to the authorities that put that on there at the
Civic Center.
No, it was at the cruise terminal.
The cruise terminal. Okay.
It was well planned, well orchestrated. We were in and out probably in 30 minutes.
Okay.
It was very surprisingly well done.
Side effects?
None at all.
No, just sore. No sore arm either.
I couldn't even feel the needle when it went in.
That sucker looks like it's a damn 3 inches long, man.
No, I had.
Did you measure it?
I literally could not tell that she hit me in the arm with that
needle.
Okay,
thank God it's a small needle.
And I hate needles. I would not make a good junkie.
No, I wouldn't. I'd never be a damn junkie. I hate needles, man. All right, well, but hey, Insight, where can people get in touch with you?
They can contact us anytime at 251-653-4781 or our website, www.serenityfuneralhome.com.
And the fabulous Bill Clark.
Great guy. Mediocre, perhaps.
All right. Great guy. Hey, you're from Mississippi originally. You're all right. Okay?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with the Scuttlebutt Network.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Well, unless you've been hiding under a rock lately, you probably have been inundated by images on television and social media of unruly mobs, both armed and armored, attacking hapless federal officials while attempting to gain entry into federal buildings, wantonly destroying and looting businesses, vehicles, and personal property along the way, leaving a wake of death and destruction. The rallying cry of the mob has been decidedly anti-government in tone, almost to the point of being anarchy, declaring a state of emergency against an alleged illegitimate authority. The outcry from the media mob and panty-waisted snowflakes has been an overwhelming rebuke of the actions that have been portrayed as an insurrection against the duly elected government of the country. Photos, a la facial recognition software, social media posts, or ID'd by the disaffected offspring of the offending parties have been plastered on nearly every platform available, with the near urgency of an Amber Alert, lest the perpetrators are able to slip through the grip of the federals to parts unknown or maybe into that red zone, where the populace needs to be liberated from its oppressive conservative leanings. Now you may be thinking, of course, Top Cat, I have seen so much of this that I can no longer stand to watch the news.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now.
Of course, you might also be thinking that I am describing the coverage of the faux insurrection that took place at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
Unfortunately, you would be mistaken, because I have been describing the carnage that has beset American cities, mainly along the left coast in cities such as Tacoma and Portland, since the inauguration of the snoozer-in-chief. Not to mention the latest report on an incursion into City Hall in Bellingham, Washington, where the mayor had to be whisked away after supposedly homeless advocate rioters, who happened to tear down the American flag along the way, forced their way into the building. I guess our elected officials figure that they are too privileged to have to answer to their supposed, quote, constituents when they might come a-calling. Running like the cowards that they are is more likely. And don't worry, you haven't missed out on the coverage of the post-inauguration violence, because the government-run media has been so consumed with maligning the patriots that attended the president's rally on January the 6th that they have, shall we say, conveniently skipped the actual calls for overthrow of the government coming from the mobs in the streets, all the while running cover for the failure of their political leaders to condemn actual attacks on our country. As I mentioned in my tirade last week, one of the goals of the progressive left is to denigrate our military and our veterans in order to diminish their role in our country and ostracize them from the general populace. Unfortunately, their propagandist attacks on our veterans and military have found traction in certain circles. Our local veterans community has not been immune to the scourge known as the cancel culture, which is working to eradicate the voices, indeed the very thoughts, of those who dare to question the party line. Indeed, we here at SBN have been the targets of such attempts by the intolerant tolerance, as I call them. However, I guarantee you that we stand firm and independent in our work for and by veterans, and will continue to provide a platform that advocates for representatives and policies to benefit all veterans. As Ronald Reagan once said,
I am paying for this microphone, Mr. Speaker.
And we don't scare to each. Unfortunately, some of the organizations out there that purport to advocate for our veterans were all too quick in their condemnation of those peacefully attending the president's rally on the 6th. It was just days after the rally when at least two veterans groups, the DAV and AMVETS, announced that they would, quote, purge members who are found guilty of participating in the events at the U.S. Capitol. The DAV, with 1 million members nationwide, released a statement on the Saturday after the rally condemning the ensuing riot as an insurrectionist act. AMVETS, with 250,000 members, decided to do the same. According to Joe Schinelli, executive director of AMVETS, any member who engaged in violence at the Capitol on Wednesday will be expelled from the organization by their local post. At the time of their statements, though, neither group had identified members who were in fact part of the attacks. However, according to statements, each time a veteran is identified as a participant in the riots, DAV leaders will run their names through their membership database. It seems that while both organizations were eager to purge participants from their rosters, there seemed to be a little in the way of guidance on exactly what would constitute an actionable offense or how they would collect evidence of the same. Case in point, Captain Emily Rainey, a psychological operations officer based out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Although Rainey resigned her commission last year, she remains on active duty awaiting her discharge, and the Army is investigating her for simply leading a group to the rally in Washington. Rainey claims she did not participate in the violence at the Capitol, nor did she enter the building. She also insisted she had not violated Army regulations and was acting along with hundreds of thousands of others as a private citizen during the rally. That has not stopped the Army from proceeding with what they are calling a fact-finding operation against her. Similarly, one of our very own veterans here in South Alabama has been the subject of such an attack. Although they are fighting back against the progressive libertard activists and our local veterans community is standing firmly with them, we will have more on this as the events unfold. And as you can see, if these recent actions by the cancel culture against our service members are any indication, it may not take much to get the black ball rolling in the veteran service organizations. And if the pettiness and vindictiveness that often manifests itself in post and detachment politics is any indication of how to proceed, then nothing more than a fellow member with a grudge may be necessary to begin the, quote, removal of undesirables.
So, logically, if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood.
And therefore...
A witch! A witch! A witch!
In fact, without effective checks and balances, the political factions that have been allowed to tear at the fabric of the nation will affect our VSOs at every level, which will further weaken our veterans' voices at a time when they need to be unified, truly unified and strong. We created SBN to bring veterans of all services and eras together because for years, the politicians have figured out that we were best controlled when we were divided. As I warned in my last tirade, actions taken by progressive politicians as the weekend at Bernie's administration begins, demonstrate an organized campaign against our patriot veterans and service members. And just like when we were on active duty, we patriots can only rely on those to our left and to our right, joined together to protect and defend our brothers and sisters in arms against who would break our lines and fidelity to each other, to this nation, and to the Constitution. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. By the way, have I mentioned? Oh, no. You already know.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM, streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it, and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, a lot of good information in the tirade there, Tom. A lot of big words, too.
Well, you know, I got through them. But, you know, yeah, I am. You know how I feel about it. So there's no need of me elaborating in that area. But I think, guys, you need to keep your powder dry and hold on. It's going to be a rough-ass ride.
Well, and you know, when you look at what it in the follow-up to some of the stories that she covered there in the tirade, you know, I have not seen where any of the veteran service organizations have yet to purge any of their members, but you would, with those investigations ongoing, it would be interesting to see exactly how that plays out. You know, was it just enough for you to show up in DC, or did you have to participate in breaching the Capitol? And, you know, where is that line? You know, what exactly did you have to do for you to be effectively blackballed from the veteran service organizations that really have better things to do right now, when you look at the changes that are probably going to be occurring within the VA with the new administration?
That's the thing that really scares me, is we had made a giant step forward, and I just hope that they don't push us two giant steps backwards.
Well, you know, the nominee was on Capitol Hill today. We'll probably have more to talk about with that in our show in the next couple of weeks. Just looking forward and seeing what the policies are going to be. But hey, you know, good on you for introducing Monty Python to our listeners.
Figured they'd like that, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, hey, anyway. That makes as much sense as the crap we see going on up the street there. You know.
That's it. Hey, remember, next week we're on at 1 o'clock at the Battleship. Hey, God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!